This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث في رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 9 من شهر ربيع الأول 1445 الموافق ل 25 من شهر سبتمبر 2023. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So we are still dealing with the matter of حب الله عز وجل الذي هو أعظم محبوب. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that is the greatest one to be loved. Ibn Qayyim says, فَتَبَارَكَ مَنْ حَمَّلَ هَذَا الْخَلْقَ الضَّعِيفَ هَذَيْنِ الْأَلَمَيْنِ الْعَظِيمَيْنِ الَّذَيْنِ لَا تَحْمِلُهُمَا الْجِبَالُ الرَّوَاسِي. Says, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and blessed is He, the one who put on the shoulder of this creation these two types of pains, that if you put them on the mountain will get destroyed. Because we are talking about losing the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest tragedy that can happen to human. قال فأعرف الآن على نفسك أعظم محبوب لك في الدنيا بحيث لا تطيب لك الحياة إلا معه فأصبحت وقد أخذ منك حيل بينك وبينه أحوج ما كنت إليه فكيف يكون هذا. He says, just present yourself, the best thing that you love in this dunya, the one that you know that you cannot succeed in this life without having him on your side. If this is to be taken away from you, and a barrier is placed between you and him, the way you cannot reach him, فكيف يكون هذا. What kind of situation do you think of? In this dunya, just think about anything that you love more than anything else, which you think is a key to the success in your life. If this mahbub of dunya weed is taken from you, what do you think your situation is? قَالَ فَكَيْفَ يَكُونَ حَالُكَ. هذا ومنه كل عوض. And he says, this is the situation when the mahbub that is taken from you of the dunya, there are other things which are good enough. Yeah, you lost even your parent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace them with somebody that subhanAllah stands for you better than what they do. Is that possible? Yes. Yes, even your parent, your wife, your husband, your children. There is badi. Alternative is there being provided. If you are very submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah tests you with the loss of those loved ones. That's why you say when you lost something, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ اللَّهُمَّ أَجِرْنِي فِي مُصِيبَةٍ وَأَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Yeah, anything. You lost your parent and you are told by the Sharia to say to Allah, Ya Allah, reward me in this musibah. And also, give me madid, something that is better than what I lost. And these are your parents. This is your wife. This is your husband. This is your children. This is your business, you know. All of these things that you think that they are the key, you know, to happiness, you know, in this life of yours. And there is a madid. Umm Salama, when she said this, she thought, it's nobody of Abu Salama. Because the life between her and her husband was so excellent, so excellent. So when she said that, but then she said, wait a minute, in this life, is there even a person who is like Abu Salama? We're not even talking about better than Abu Salama. Is there even a person that is better than Abu Salama in this dunya? You know, because of the musibah that affected her, she even forgot. Rasulullah is there. Abu Bakr is there, he's better than Abu Salama, way better than Abu Salama. Umar is there, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman. Many great companions. Abu Salama is not one of those companions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted paradise while they are alive. Inshallah, we hope he is in Jannah long ago. Ibn Allah Azza wa Jalla. But he's not one of those that the Prophet also mentioned that he's going to Jannah. SubhanAllah, because of the impact of the musibah, she couldn't remember anyone. Because the line between her and her husband was so excellent. And then she lost her husband. This is dunya. No matter how much she loves somebody, you're going to leave that person, or he will be leaving you. As Jibreel told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ وَفَارِقُهُ. He said, love whomsoever you wish, that they will come, you will leave that person. You know what? That's how which you live in this dunya with this, you know, belief. This kind of belief helps you to be moderate in the love you have towards self. But then, you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her, you know, Allah showed her that, yes, there are many, you know, who are better than herself. And he gave her the best. Who was that? Rasulullah. Rasulullah proposed to marry this thing. Yeah. Very quickly she remembered. How did I miss this one? So Ibn Qayyim says, just present to yourself, just ask yourself this question. Who is the best person in this dunya that you know? Fulan, you know, wife, parent, or whoever you're going to assign for this position. If you are to lose this person, and the barrier is being placed between you and them, what will be your situation? You'll be sad, you'll be depressed, you'll be stressed all the time, you know? And at the same time, you have badil. Badil means there is an alternative, something that can replace this one. And that it will do the best replacement, actually. So Ibn Qayyim says, if losing what a replacement is already being provided can still cause you pressure and stress in your life. He said, you know, he says, فَكَيْفَ مِمَنْ لَا عِوَضَ. What would be your situation if you lost somebody that has no replacement? Who is that? Allah. If you lost, if you lose the sight of Allah, what would be your replacement? Nothing. He said, what do you think the situation of that person who lost somebody that has no replacement for that lost? كَمَا قِيلْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا ضَيَّعْتَ وَعِوَضٌ وَمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا يَعْتَهُ عِوَامٌ. Paul says, everything that you lost in this dunya, that is already you are mine. Whatever dunya you lose in this dunya, whatever thing you lose in this dunya, that is badi. That is the alternative. Only the smart, good people will understand this. We keep moving, you know. But the vast majority are not thinking in this way. We think in a very insignificant and wrong way. I lose this person, that means my life is useless. Yeah, that's why in the profound countries which started to creep to our communities. When they lose something, what is the badi? To commit suicide, kill themselves. Let's go get out of this life. In Islam, we don't have this. We have patience. We have a clear understanding of life and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the system and how does it function. So if a calamity happens to any one of us, yeah, he feels the calamity. He feels it. It's wrong to laugh when your son or your wife or your husband die, or your parent or your friends or any Muslim die and then you laugh. This is junoon. This is insanity. That's why when one of the scholars, you know, he lost his child, and he was laughing. They said because he wanted to show the peak of rida, you know, that he's pleased with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then subhanAllah, the scholars when they come and they tell you this, they say this is absolutely wrong. Who fears Allah more? This scholar or Rasulullah? Rasulullah. When his son died, he laughed. Did he laugh? No. He cried. He shed tears. Rasulullah, they even asked him, Ya Rasulullah, you know this? He said, yes, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the heart of his creation. And he said, what? SubhanAllah, that scholar said, the chest of that scholar who was laughing was so congested, so narrow, there was not enough space to accommodate two types of ibadat. Ibadat of riba, and the ibadah of mercy. You get it? He couldn't accommodate that. He decided to incline and depend on one type of ibadah, which is the ibadah of the real of the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in the wrong way. That's why he laughed. But Rasulullah, his chest was so expanded, so vast, so big, to accommodate all types of ibadat. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. And when he cried, he said what? He said, Inna wallahi bifiraqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun. He says, Ya Ibrahim, by Allah, we are really sad. We are saddened by your demise. He says, La mahzunun. Yes. He says, Wala naqul. He says, Wala naqul illa ma yurdu Rabbi. But we will never say anything except that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, that's how it is. So you feel the musibah, but you don't react negatively towards it. That's the life of it. Anything in this dunya, take it like that, you will relax. All of these worries that we have, you know, you lost this, you lost that. I really wish that each and every one of us understand this. You want to succeed in this dunya, you want to relax? Well, what? Take to the elements. It comes and goes. Yeah, I lost this, and just tell yourself, so what? Let's keep moving. Alhamdulillah, move forward. Close that file and move forward. Don't leave that file open, because what happens after that, you will be distracted, depressed, stressed, and demotivated. And you will not be productive at all. You'll be demotivated, and you will never be productive. So relax and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everything. And the only thing that you should worry when you lost that thing is Allah. كل شيء إذا ضيعته عوضا وما من الله إلا ضيعته عوضا. Everything that you lost in this dunya, that is a replacement. And get something better than that. But the only thing that when you lose, you will never get a replacement is the side of the world. قاله في آثارك إلهي يا ابن آدم خلقتك لعبادتي فلا تلع إن أثر there is a some of those that we got somewhere commentator says I couldn't find it in any to support it so maybe it's part of Israel yet but the meaning is correct he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ya ibn Adam son of Adam خلقتك لعبادتي فلا تلع I created you for worship for the sake of worship. فلا تلع don't waste your time playing. Now this is the other one. Games are played up. Ibadah is the purpose of your creation is to worship Allah. فلا تلع God makes fun of it. وتكفلت برزقك فلا تتعب. He says, and I took the responsibility of making you rich and granting you the sustenance and the risk. Falatata. Don't overburden yourself. Meaning, relax. Relax. Look for the risk through the right channels and don't worry. This is what you need. Don't sit at home and sleep and say that talk to Allah. This is not talking. But at the same time, look for the risk and don't worry about the risk. As long as you're looking for it through the halal means, Allah says, I am responsible to take care of your risk. قال ابن عدد أطعني تجي فإن وجدتني وجدت كل شيء Obey me and you will find me with you. And if you find me with you, you found everything. And that's it. You are Allah. If Allah is with you, everything is with you. Everything will come to you. Everything will come to you. From the Prophet said, what touch with dunya? What you have in there are some people, dunya comes and chases them. Imagine we're chasing the dunya, but there are some dunya is chasing them. But in foot to kafata kapulusha. If I miss you, then if you miss me, then everything is. وأنا أحب إليك منكم وأنا أحب إليك منكم شيء and I should be the most beloved one to you than anything else. So as I said, this other we don't find any 70 points, but this is what is said by the people in the community most likely is taken from the Muslim. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله فصل ولما كانت المحبة جنسا تحته أنواع متفاوتة في القدر متفاوتة في القدر والوصف كان أغلب ما يذكر فيها في حق الله تعالى ما يختص به ويليق به من أنواعها وما لا يصلح إلا له وحده مثل العبادة والإنابة ونحوها ونحوهما فإن العبادة لا تصلح إلا له وحده وكذلك Ibn Qayyim says it is a fact that mahabba, love, is not equal. The time and the description, you have different types of mahabba. And the quantity, the size, the nature, differs from mahabba to another mahabba. You see, that's why, since this is a fact, so the vast majority of what is mentioned when you're talking about Allah is the mahabba that is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that is not appropriate to be directed to anyone other than him. You get it? Wamala is Muhammad. And those things that is not appropriate to be given to anyone except him. Like what? Labor, worship, will inhabit, istighfar, tawbah, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And issues of that nature. Is it fa'inna al-ibadat la tasluhu illa lahu wahdahu? Because it is haram for a person to do any act of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa kadhalika al-inaba. The same goes to the inaba. Wa qad tudhkaru al-mahabbatu bismiha al-mutlaq. Wa qawlihi ta'ala fa sawfa ya'ti Allahu bi qawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbuna. أذلةٍ على المؤمنين أعزةٍ على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم Ibn Qayyim says sometimes you might see the muhabba being mentioned mutlaqa, in general, without any restriction. Just like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ لِقَوْمِ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّهُمْ. If somebody decided to leave their religion, Allah cares about him. No. Yeah. Allah doesn't care. If a person decided to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to go away from the religion, Allah doesn't care about him. It's absolutely up to him to choose. What does he want to do? And Allah, since he is the owner of everything and the creator of everything, he told us that there will be a day in which each and every one of us will come to accountability, and a person has to answer the question properly. Why did he leave the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But in this dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعَدِبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَحَ بَعُوضَ لَمَا سَقَى كَافِرٌ مِنْهَا شَرَّةً. If dunya has the value of the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah, the kafir will never be able to have a drop of water to drink in his life. The dunya doesn't have this value in the eyes of Allah. That's why he meant everyone to stay. So Allah says, if whoever decided to go against the religion, out of the religion, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّهُمْ. Allah is going to bring other people, those whom he loves and beloved. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are very gentle and soft and lenient to the believers. SubhanAllah, nowadays, many of us return that system upside down. Because the Muslim is supposed to be lenient to the Muslims. We're not. We're very harsh. We might support others against our Muslim brothers and sisters. Do we have these stories? Yes. In all the battles that somebody sent to the Muslim territories where our children, our sisters, you know, and our innocent brothers and sisters are killed, who is supporting those enemies of Allah? Real enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kufar. Who is supporting them? Muslims. Neighbors. Trust me. They have to get the permission from those people who are near them. Then they can come. Because it will not be easy for them to fight. You have some who call themselves Muslims, and they will come up. Whoever legalized that, you know, he knows that Muslims are going to be killed, and he says it's halal, halal, halal. That person goes out of Islam completely. It's just like anybody else among Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that Muslims are as brothers to each other. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. Nowadays we're busy fighting each other. Allah says that kuffar, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always construct strong alliance amongst themselves. Look at their countries, you know? United this, United that, United this. They cooperate. Even the visa they get, all these are amongst them. Will you find it in Muslim countries? All of them. They remove the barriers amongst themselves. And they still get barriers. They have a strong cooperation. If one of them is touched, they have different approaches in terms of politics. They are not equal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think they are all together? Allah says, no, the heart is really different. They hate each other, but since kufr al-kufr millatun wahid, kufr is one of them. And they see Islam as the greatest enemy, and they don't care who you are. This, you that, you this, you that, you don't care. The point is, you are Muslim. So they unite themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they always unite themselves. He said, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُهُ تَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. If you, the Muslims, are not going to do that, there will be a great fitna on earth. So we need this unity of Muslims. Muslims are not troublemakers, they are not supposed to be troublemakers, and they are not harmful to anyone. That's why if you find Islam being practiced in a place correctly, wallahi, aqsimu billah, everyone is going to enjoy, including the non-Muslims living, they will enjoy. We have in history, just go back to history and see how it was. In some places, we're told that the Jew refused to leave, you know, to stay in a place where the Christians are saved. They rather go with the Muslims because they never got oppressed. In some part of the history, there was a time they left their own territory. They kept on coming to our own places because they believe that this is where they can find full security. Nobody is allowed to harm them just because of their religion. Because in the time of Rasulullah, this is what it was, how it was. That's why if a Muslim touch a non-Muslim, they go straight forward to Rasulullah and complain to him. And the Prophet blamed that Muslim who oppress the non-Muslim and take the right and give it back to him. That's Islam. So they used to come to us and do business. And they like to be with us. Because the only thing they will pay is what? Jizya, right? No taxes, no any other taxes. Nowadays you don't even know which type of tax they have. In every place you go, in some countries, you know, we're told that around 25% of your income is taken. You cannot save anything. Good idea. In those days, they took the jizya, which is a tax, and how much is that? So he pays on the yearly basis that little amount. And he has full protection to live with the Muslim community. So he will become rich, whereas if he goes to back to his place, never get the riches. Because the authority will take care of it. The old kuffar will be exploit and suck the blood of each, which he couldn't find the innocent objects. So that's Islam. That's Islam. If you present it in the correct way, this is what it does. Even the non-Muslim will enjoy. But unfortunately, those weak elements among the Muslims, they think liberalism is the best approach. Person should just do whatever he wants, going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and look at the Muslim world. Are we in a good shape? I think even somebody who is deaf and blind will tell you no. Alam al-Islam is not in a good shape. And why are we like that? Because we're not practicing Islam correctly. You know, I can assure you, if Islam is to be practiced correctly in any place, that place will be the best place on earth. To stay for everyone. They have the whole protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless at the place with all types of blessing. And they, if they are to be harsh, it's not on their brothers from the Muslims, you know. And those who did not fight them from the non-Muslims, who agreed to give them enemies, they only fight those who are fighting. What do you call that? Self-defense. Was the jihad in the time of the Prophet against whom? It was only against the enemies who were fighting the Muslims. Not against the normal non-Muslims who were living on them. Those who they enjoyed peace. As well as Rasulullah signed the agreement that let's live in the same, let's live in peace. With whom? The Jews. And the Munafiqeen. All of them. No need to fight. We don't fight, you don't fight us. Nobody should fight each other. And we all are responsible, you know, of Medina, to take care of Medina. This is our own territory. It happens that we're living together, so let's cooperate to protect the place and the interests of each other. So now, at first, they all agree, because who is Majnun who would not agree with this? But unfortunately, they kept on breaking the treaty one after another. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never broke a treaty. Look at the one he signed with the people in Makkah. Muslims are not happy with that. Responsible to bring them back. You see how unfair is this condition? If somebody came to us as a Muslim, we have to chase him. And if somebody ran away from us to them, they don't need to chase him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, accept.
Muslims who are religious,
you know, but talk to him. It's a good way when he he realized it, you know, that he was wrong, he repented. So the Prophet ﷺ accepted. But at the end of the day, what happens? Was it good for the believers? Yes. That condition which annoys the Muslims was the reason why Mecca was conquered. Rasulullah ﷺ did not break any treaty. They broke the treaty. Yeah. Because Rasulullah ﷺ, when he went to Medina, you know, the first person came, Abu Basir. Rasulullah ﷺ told him to go back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, they will kill me. The Prophet ﷺ told him, don't worry. Just go back, Allah will help you. Ya Rasulullah, they will do this. Rasulullah ﷺ said, be patient. Don't worry, just go back with them. And they sent two people to bring him back. The Prophet ﷺ said, just go back with them. Khalas, he kept his word. He chased him back. What happens on the way, that's between them. The point is, I don't let him to stay in Medina. SubhanAllah, on the way, you know, Muslims is always smart if he hold upon the religion correctly. So what did he do? They were talking, discussing, you know, matters, he and these two guys. He told one of them, oh, you have a nice sword. He said, yeah, this sword is really good, you know. He praised it so much. He said, would you mind if I see it? He said, no problem, because they enjoy talking, you know. He says, no problem. He took the sword, he said, oh, that's so nice. He kept on playing with the sword until the time he is sure that he can attack now. He got one of them to the ground. Had them buried. The other one, when he sees him, he sees his brother was killed, run back to safety. Where can he go? Medina. Yeah, because he's too far from Makkah, so he's closer to Medina. He went back to Medina, running. And Abu Basir was following him, chasing him. He gets inside Medina. Rasulullah ﷺ was in the masjid. When he saw him, the way the guy was running, he says, لَقَدْ رَأَى هَذَا فَزَعَ. He said, definitely this guy was in trouble. Before he even came, the way the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he said, definitely this man is in trouble. When he came, he threw himself to, in the middle of the place where Rasulullah ﷺ is sitting. He says, Ya Rasulullah, he said, Ya Muhammad, my friend was killed, and I'm going to be killed also. Please help. The Prophet ﷺ waited, and then Abu Basir came. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, you can't touch him. You know, subhanAllah, he kept on conversing with him. He told Rasulullah ﷺ, let me stay here. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, I can't, because I've already agreed. SubhanAllah, he's a Muslim, but that agreement, and since Allah told him, accept that agreement, he told him, please, accept our apology. We are with you. And Allah will protect you, but go back. You don't stay in Medina. He said, even, Ya Rasulullah, I am on my own. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you're on your own. He understood what the man meant, you know. That's why even he told him when he mentioned some statement, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I am on my own. You have already did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do. Now you should leave me alone. The Prophet ﷺ said, Waila ummi. It's like woe unto his mother. But don't forget, when Rasulullah ﷺ make this type of dua, it turns automatically to a blessing for a person. He says, Lo kana ma'ahu rijal. I wish he has some brothers with him. Because he says he will not go to Mecca again. Because if he goes to Mecca, what will be the punishment? Death. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will not go to Mecca. I'm on my own now. The Prophet ﷺ said, Waila ummi. Lo kana ma'ahu rijal. I wish he has some brothers next to him. So he went, rather than going to Mecca, he was hiding in a place that has a lot of mountains and caves, you know. He was in that place. Abu Jandal, the son of Suhail, the one who signed the treaty with the Prophet ﷺ, you remember when Abu Jandal came and they were about to sign the treaty, and he was chained, the father chained him, and he wanted to be with the Muslims, and the Prophet ﷺ was begging the father. The father says, this is the first person I charge you for. You have to let my son go back. The Prophet ﷺ said, please, we did not even sign the treaty yet. He said, either you let him go back or I will not sign anything. It was a very painful moment, that treaty. You know? But subhanAllah, it all turns to be beneficial to the believers.
So Abu Jandal, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned him, he chased him away. He went on the way back to Makkah, he found Abu Basir. He said, Allah, come here. And then they kept on doing like that. Whoever comes from Makkah, the Prophet will chase him away. Rather than, instead of going to Makkah, he will go to Abu Basir. Until they become the Isaba, group of them. And they have strong weapons with them. And luckily, Quraysh have any other way to reach Sham except through that place. They have some other ways, but it's too far. So that's the easiest way for them to reach Sham to buy food and their businesses. The first caravan that passes through the place, Abu Basir let them go. When they're coming back from Sham, he and his people, they attacked them. They got them all. You know, subhanAllah. Makkah heard about this. They tried to chase them. And you know, fighting people in Jibal is not easy. You cannot. And this is their own territory. They can fight you. They know where you're coming from. So Makkah couldn't do anything. And they started to starve because they cannot get any grain. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you remember amongst the treaty that is one point that says if somebody migrated to you, you have to return him to Makkah? He said, yes, I remember that. He says, and if somebody came from you to us, we don't need to return him. He said, yes, I remember that one. I'm still upon this one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows what is going on. So they said, can we please remove this? SubhanAllah. Now, Rasulullah is the one who is doing favor to them to say yes. You know, they're begging him, please accept our apology. Let us cancel this one. We are tired. The country is suffering. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's doing a favor. He said, no problem. Let's cancel this. SubhanAllah. Those Muslims, although, you know, they are succeeding, but they don't want to stay like that. That's why they really celebrate when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them a message that now that part of the treaty is being cancelled by the enemies. So you can just come back to Medina. And subhanAllah, they mentioned that they just reached the messenger, just reached them with the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave Abu Basir, the one who the founder of the place, he was about to pass away to die at that time. He did not manage to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this shows that you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you, you will succeed. Iwallah. None of them was happy with this, but it turns to be good for the Muslim community and everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They're always gentle, but they're harsh to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No compromise. Enemies means those people who are fighting the believers. Because in Islam, the one who is not fighting you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. It is not haram for you to have good relationship with those people who are living with you in peace. And that was what was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why if a person is to kill a non-Muslim just because he's a non-Muslim, and that person is not fighting, he's living with him in peace, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يَرَحْ رَائِحَةِ الْجَنَّةِ. This Muslim will never smell paradise. We are not the ummah who is committing unfairness and injustice against others. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُحِبُّهُمْ مَيْحِبُّونَهُ. Allah will bring others who love him and he loves them. They love him and he loves them. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Here also, unrestricted love is being mentioned. Allah says there are some people who take other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as partners to Allah. They worship, they love them, you know, they worship them, and they love them like the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And you always find the brothers, the believers, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anybody else. قال وأعظم أنواع المحبة وأعظم أنواع المحبة المذموم المحبة مع الله التي يسوي المحب فيها بين محبه بين محبة الله ومحبة الند الذي اتخذه من دونه. Ibn Qayyim says, and thus the biggest and the worst type of muhabba that is blameworthy is the muhabba that somebody has together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean muhabba of something together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's meaning you have shirk in your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَعْظَمَ أَنْوَائِهَا الْمَحْمُودَةِ محبة الله وحده ومحبة ما أحب. And the greatest type of love that is praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by anyone is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and also the love of anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. قال وهذه المحبة هي أصل السعادة ورأسها التي لا ينجو أحد من العذاب إلا بها. And this محبة is the root of success in this life. And also, it is the only mahabba that there is no way for anyone to be saved in this life as well as the hereafter, except if he has this mahabba in his heart. قال والمحبة المذمومة الشركية هي أصل الشقاوة ورأسها التي لا يبقى في العذاب إلا أهلها. You see, we have the description of the best muhabba, right? This is muhabbatullahi azza wa jal. And he says the worst type of muhabba, love that somebody has in his heart, is al-muhabbatu shirkiyya, the muhabba that somebody associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. You claim that you love Allah, but at the same time that person is loving somebody in the way he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does that work? When there is a contradiction between what that person loves and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, the person will go to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what that person loves, not what Allah loves. What does that mean? He loves that person more. Although he might say, no, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is fake, this love. The truth is that he loves that one more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala, this is the only type of love that can take somebody to hell and keep him in hell forever. The love that is shirk. قال فأهل المحبة الذين أحبوا الله وعبدوه وحده لا شريك له لا يخلدون في النار ومن دخلها منهم بذنوبه فإنه لا يبقى فيها منهم أحد. He says that the good محبة, whoever has it, and he worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone through this محبة, and he refused to associate any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this muhabba, will never remain in hell forever. Even if it happens that he goes to hell because of his sins, he would never remain in that place forever. There are two types of hell, right? Naru al-kuffar wa naru usat al-mu'mini. You have the fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the kuffar and died in kufr, and you have the fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the Muslims who committed sins and they died without repentance. If Allah did not forgive them, He would take them to hell, but they would never stay there forever. Nobody will stay in hell as long as he has iman, even if it is a little. When the iman completely goes out of the heart, then there is no way for him to go out of hell. قَالَ وَمَدَارُ الْقُرْآنِ عَلَى الْأَمْرِ بِتِلْكَ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَلَوَازِمِهَا. And Quran from A to Z is based on commanding the Muslims and the human beings to adopt this type of muhabba, the good one, walawazimiha, and all of its requirements and necessities. والنهي عن المحبة الأخرى ولوازمها. Quran is all about commanding you to take the good muhabba and to stay away from the wrong one. وضرب الأمثال والمقاييس للنوعين. وذكر قصص النوعين. Quran is all about giving you examples, you know, asking you to make qiyas. Qiyas means to take lesson from those qisas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you. Because Allah told us a lot of qisas of this muhabba, a lot in the Quran. And actually every qissa in the Quran is based on this. Every story in the Quran is based on this. وَتَفَاصِيلِ أَعْمَالِ النَّوْعَيْنِ وَأَوْلِيَئِهِمْ وَمَعَبُودِ كِلَيْهِمَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned every detail that each and every one of these muhabba contains. And who are the people who are adopting these muhabba? وَإِخْبَارِهِ أَنْ فِعْلِهِ بِالنَّوَعَيْنِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us about what was his reaction towards those people who have both muhabba, either the good one or the bad one. وَأَنْ حَالِ النَّوَعَيْنِ فِي الدُّورِ الثَّلَاثَ. And also the situation of the two types in the three houses. How many houses do we have in this life and the hereafter? 30, right? I've already given you the clue. What are these houses? Those of you who attended our dars of Tahawiyah, I forgot this is UIA class. You forgot very easily. Dar al-Dunya, wa Dar al-Barzakh, wa Dar al-Qarar, wa Dar al-Akhirah. Al-Hanafi mentioned this in Tahawiyah that you have three houses in this dunya and the akhirah. Dar al-Dunya, this is this dunya, right? From the time you come out of the womb, or from the time you exist in the womb, because it's still part of the dunya. You know, some of them give this a new category. Ma qabla al-dunya, before the dunya. But the best is to maintain these three. Because when your mother is there, the one that is inside the womb of the mother is also in the dunya. Isn't it? Yeah. So dar al-dunya. The hukum in the dar al-dunya, this dunya that we're living, the hukum is on what? The soul or the body? The hukum is based on what? The body or the soul? The body. The soul is following the body. The second house is Darul Barzakh. Barzakh means the barrier between life and death. I mean, the most accurate definition is that the dimension a person is going to be in, which is situated between the Akhirah and the Dunya. A place of transit, actually. Is a dimension Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transfer a person to. Separation between the dunya and the akhirah. It's not the akhirah yet, and it's not the dunya anymore. So a person goes out of the dunya, he's on the way to the akhirah. You get the idea? So he will remain in this barzakh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Between them there is a barzakh. Barzakh means barrier. إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Until the day of judgment. There are some people in the cultures, they believe that a dead person can come back, right? They can see them, right? That's why people get scared, you know. If you are to see somebody who died, what happens? The person will be scared. If somebody died, and we ask one of us to sleep in the same room where he is, only you and him. How is it? Is that possible? Only you and him. I'm afraid they will come and find you dead also. Like, and subhanAllah, if they are to find you dead, they are to find that person who is living with him dead, they will increase their cultural belief that something happened to him, not knowing that maybe he panics so much and he has maybe heart attack, you know. Because Allah says, وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. There is no way for a dead person to come back until the day of judgment. No way for him to come back until the day of judgment. So if you have this belief, all of these cultural things, you know, person will stay away from them. Yeah. I'm saying this because recently I saw an article talking about this ghost and this type of things which they believe, some of them, that this is the dead person coming back. No, there is no way. If you see somebody that looks like him, this is what? Jinn, shaitan. Just read, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم and آية الكرسي, inshallah, he will run away from you. بإذن الواحد الأحد. Allah says, وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Yeah. It's a very, subhanAllah, scary and interesting place, because this place is the one that determines what can happen, what will happen to you in the future. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Qabru awwalu manzil min manazil al-akhirah. إن نجا منه أحد فما بعده أيسر منه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said the first transit that a person has, you know, on his way to the Akhirah is the grave. If he can pass the test in the grave, then what comes after that is much easier. If you pass the test in the grave, what comes after that is much, much easier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusallimana is a very, very strong test, which a person should always reflect upon that first night. And it's all about most likely few minutes, subhanAllah. But those few minutes are really, really tough. And they will determine the place where a person is going, either to Jannah or to hell. So this is Daru al-Barzakh. Is there any life in Barzakh? Yes, their own life. We call it their life. Yeah. That's where the Prophet ﷺ said, a person when his family left him, he can hear the footsteps of those family members. Those people are going back. It's a complete life. They have visitation also according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, life in its own nature. وَدَارُ الْقَرَارِ. And the next one is دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. Which one is دَارُ الْقَرَارِ? دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. دَارُ الْقَرَارِ means the house of what? قَرَار. قَرَار means stability and staying forever, continuation. You know, something that has no end, endless kind of life. Life of the house of eternity. A house of eternity. So these are the houses. In the Darul Barzakh, the hukum is on what? Is on the soul. And the body is following. Okay? Mainly on the soul. The body is following. Because the body, if you are to dig the grave, what do you find? Nothing. If you come earlier, you might find the worms. They are eating from the body. Or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the body for some of us, you know, like the shuhada, like the prophets, the earth doesn't take from their flesh at all. So the body is gone, turned into dust. So the main hukum is on the soul, the body is following. The darul akhirah, the focus is on what? Both. The body, because the body comes back again, and the soul. And it is called Darul Qarar because it has no end at all. No end. Wherever a person goes, there is no end. Yeah. Either he's in Jannah or he's in hell. Hell will not finish and Jannah will not finish. وَالْقُرْآنُ جَاءَ فِي شَأْنِ النَّوْعَيْنِ. And the Quran comes talking to the believers about the two. Get it? Two here, he's referring to the mahabba. Mahabbatu al-shirkiya and mahabbatu al-ilahiya al-mahmuda. Quran talks about both of them because they are the basis of success and failure in life. If you go with the mahabba that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, where you worship Him alone without associating partner with Him, you will be among the successful. If a person choose to take another path, then he will be among those who fail. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Let's move to question and answer session, inshallah.
Assalamu alaykum, Shaykh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
So, there's a few, like, certain acts, some of the scholars say that, like, it takes you out of Islam. So let's say, like, there's a difference of opinion, like, if you miss a salah out of laziness, some scholars say that it takes you out of the fold of Islam. Some scholars say it doesn't. Let's say that the haqq is with the people who say that, if you miss one salah, yeah, you're out of laziness, you're fine. But what about, like, let's say someone who follows the other opinion, and then he follows that opinion, and then he dies. So, but the haqq was with the
if he is lucky, that he lives in the place where they follow the vast majority of the scholars' opinion. Then they will pray for him. But if he dies in a place where the scholars of that place, the community believes that whoever stays away from praying is kafir, and obviously they will not pray for him. And they will not agree with him to be buried in the graveyard of the Muslims. They will bury him with the non-Muslims. His wife is not allowed to stay with him. The marriage will be gone. And she cannot inherit him because he's kafir. But if he's blessed that he lives within those who believe that he's still a Muslim, then they worship, they pray for him. But that is one little comment here which we need to know, that the one that is in question is somebody who stayed away from praying. He stays away from praying completely. Not the one who prays sometimes and sometimes doesn't pray. Let's say he prays on Friday and he doesn't pray the rest of the prayers, except occasionally. Sometimes he prays. If he's with people, he will do. If he's nobody, he will not. Yeah. This is not the one they are discussing. This one is Muslim. Wrongdoers among the Muslimin. But they're talking about somebody who stays away from praying completely. Doesn't pray. No Jummah, no Eid, no Zuhur, no Asr, no Maghrib, no any other prayer. Yeah, this is the one that is in question. Is he a kafir or not? The minority among the scholars said he's a kafir because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said between us and them is salah. Whoever leaves the salah is kafir. Majority of the scholars said no. There are some hadiths that shows that if a person stays away from praying out of laziness, he is not a kafir. He's at the edge, you know, but not kafir. He is under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a kafir is not under the mashia of Allah. In the sense that he could be forgiven when he dies in kufr. There is no way for him to receive the forgiveness from Allah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this man under his mashia, either he forgives him or he punishes him, that means he is not a kafir. Get it? That's the best opinion, wallahu alam. The second one, the one that says he is almost out of Islam. And he has to be very careful. He's in the most dangerous situation, right after the shirk. Staying away from praying is worse than zina, worse than drinking wine, worse than riba, worse than homosexuality. All of these evil things, staying away from praying, is the worst sin after the shirk. Yeah. So Allah salam wa afiyah.
Question, Sheikh. There are stories whereby a dead person's body can't be carried to the grave, and they say it's because of certain sins. For example, he was bad to his mother, and they say they can't carry the body until the mother forgives him. Can we believe in such stories?
No, it's not true. It's not true. They should take him to the grave. Yeah, they should keep begging her, but they shouldn't delay and keep the body just like that until that the mother agrees to forgive him. And I don't know what he did, but which mother is this? Yani, Allah. And your son already passed away, and what? Ask Allah to forgive him. And this is also contrary to the attitude of mothers, you know, because you will see a person misbehaving towards his mother, but subhanAllah, if something bad happens to him, she will be the first one to support him, as if there is nothing among them, and she will never let something harmful to reach him. You know, these are mothers. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let kids to be raised, you know, at the hand of who? Mothers, not fathers. Yeah, because this is very obvious. Who is more merciful to the child? Mothers. To the extent that sometimes also this mercy goes in the wrong way, where she let the child just do whatever he wants, even if it is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a wisdom when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it in this way. And then so strange to find a person, you know, the son or the daughter dies and the mother refused to forgive. Come on. She shouldn't treat him in this way. She should forgive. She should let him go in peace. She should actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Not just she forgive him, she should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, so that the son or the daughter can succeed in the hereafter. What does she lose? What does she gain if she sees him being punished in hell? What does she benefit from that? But to keep his body until the time she forgives, this is wrong. They should take him to the graveyard. They should try their best first. Wait a little bit. If she doesn't want to forgive, they should just take him to the graveyard and ask Allah to show mercy upon him.
Until she forgives. So is this the
perfect? Why can't they carry the body? The body is becoming like a rock, like a mountain. Cannot be carried. No, they should carry him to the graveyard. They should try their best to convince her, but if she's not willing to convince, until when are they going to keep him there? It is actually a disrespect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Allah wants us to take him to the graveyard as quickly as possible.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ.
السلام ورحمة الله.
أحسن الله إليكم في الدنيا والآخرة.
اللهم آمين.
A sister is asking that her husband claims not praying salah is one of those sins which are only between him and Allah, and Allah will forgive it, while other sins like zina, not respecting the husband, are more destructive. He tends to be very aggressive in defending his habit of leaving the salah. The sister is asking, will she be held accountable if she stops reminding him to pray, because he gets so aggressive and just focus on her own Islam?
No, she shouldn't stop. She should keep reminding him, unless if, let's say, he harmed her physically. But she shouldn't stop. She should keep reminding him. This is not only between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people who knows about his situation, they have to remind him. They have to. Yeah. This is not part of min husn Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Your brother who is on the wrong way and you know about that, reminding him ya'niq. It's part of your responsibility, and it's very dangerous to live with him without reminding him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish him, that person who stays with him might be affected also. So the only thing that can, you know, save a person from getting involved in the punishment is to remind and to keep reminding. May Allah grant us good.
A question from a brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Shaykh. May Allah grant you the best of health always. Can you remind us of what we can do for our deceased loved ones? Can our good deeds or dua affect them in any way?
The best is the dua. Ya Allah, anyone who dies amongst your family members, make dua for him. That life is not easy. Wallahi, that life after death is not easy. Yeah, we just don't know. But reading the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran can let you understand how serious is the matter. Then you know that yes, these ones need dua. Ya Allah, they need dua. And you don't know that dua you'll be making, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them relief from some of the difficulties they might be facing. So dua, and give charity on their behalf if you can. Make some waqf, build a masjid, build a well, you know, and build a school. Make something that can keep earning them reward after they are gone. You know. These are some of the things that you will do to benefit them with. The most important one is the dua, constant dua, and the sadaqah jariyah that you establish for him to keep receiving the reward, inshallah.
Question from Sister Murni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi.
There was a question in the last class, but it was misread, so we want to ask it again, inshallah. If someone being appointed to be the surau committee member, where they practice bid'ah at the surau, not to be imam but to be management for the surau, where he would have opportunity to include activities upon the sunnah of the surau. However, there will still be a mixture of bid'ah activities done by other committee members, which he will not be able to stop them. Should he accept the offer? What if
as long as he can fix slowly and gradually, it's better for him to accept, to see how to fix. But if he cannot have any influence, it's better for him to stay away. And as long as it is not mandatory upon him to follow what he believes is incorrect, then it's okay. But if he is going to be forced by virtue of the agreement, then it's better for him to step aside. Let them handle their affairs by themselves. May Allah grant us good.
What if he feels he is not strong to fight the bid'ah? Can he reject the offer?
Yeah, if he knows he cannot do that, then it's better for him to step aside.
Back to the question of the sister advising her husband that doesn't pray. She is asking, isn't me praying in front of him enough of a reminder? he gets very angry when she reminds him and she is scared of him.
No, unless if she's afraid of something bad to happen, then she should try to seek the opportunities and times when he's happy and then talk. She shouldn't stop talking. Don't talk to him when he's not in a good mood. When he's in a normal mood, also don't talk. Wait first until the circumstance and the moment when he's extremely happy. You know, then, khalas, cast the advice to him in a very a nice and the way that is full of wisdom, inshallah.
So, for example, if a person passes away and that person didn't perform Hajj and they were able to perform but they didn't while they were alive, does it count when like another person after they passed away does it on Hajj. Their behalf?
On their behalf.
Yeah, a Hajj, right.
Yeah, Hajj. It's okay. As long as the person died, that means he cannot perform Hajj by himself. So it's okay for somebody to do it on his behalf. Inshallah. That person who will do it on his behalf must make sure that he did his own Hajj already. I already performed Hajj, then I can perform on behalf of somebody who died. But if I did not make Hajj, I have to do it myself first. I have to do mine first and then do his.
So it doesn't count if it's their first Hajj?
Hmm?
So it doesn't count if it's their first Hajj?
Yeah, many scholars said if I did not do Hajj and I went to do on behalf of somebody, that Hajj might be mine, not his. Yeah. I mean, yes, Adam.
Assalamu alaikum. What is the veracity of the hadith that says if 100 people attend your janazah, all your sins are forgiven?
What I know is 40. If you have 40 people attending your janazah, Allah, they will be shufa'a. Inshallah, they will intercede for you on the day of judgment. That amount, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, as long as they are okay, they are good, inshallah, that amount is enough to earn you forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of them. Yeah.
Sometimes after Friday Jumu'ah, they will immediately rush in a body and pray janazah and they end up getting like 200-300 people. Is it just, so does this, is the person, do they get the intercession even though you've never met this person?
It's okay. I mean, in Jumu'ah, right?
Yeah.
It is not necessary that those people, have to know him. It's good to have the janazah being prayed in a place where you have a lot of people there. And the point is, do they pray or not? How many people are praying for this person? Even if they're just passing by and they see the janazah being prayed, they just come. They don't even know who he is. They just join. Yeah. That's more than enough for him. Yeah. May Allah grant us good.
Sheikh, the question, last time we mentioned we need evidence when we say someone is, when someone does wrong towards us. I can understand if it is physical abuse, but what about verbal abuse? If you record what the person said, we know it's not all the time you prepare to record what will happen.
Patience is better. This is not my word, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idfa ability here, Ahsan. Always be patient. Reply with good. Whether it is verbal or physical, somebody is doing something wrong to you, Allah, the one who created us, he said, reply with the best. Don't be like them. That's why he called your reaction in the same way they are doing, he called it sayyah, an evil deed. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Yeah, if you cannot be patient, then you reply with the same. Exactly. وَإِنْ عَقَبْتُمْ فَعَقَبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ. But then Allah says, وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. If you believe that you cannot be patient, then you have a right to reply with the same, exactly the same. He slap you with 5 fingers, you also should slap him with only 5 fingers. He punch you, you punch him in the same place. Exactly what he did. But he says, وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. But if you are to be patient, this is better for the patient people. Who says this? Rabbul Alameen. Yeah. So I believe patience is better. Replying with the best is better. You know, people, when you live with people, you're going to see a lot of harmful things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be patient. What comes after patience is good, inshallah azza wa jal. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallah. Okay. Any question? Oh. Okay, inshallah, let me see if I can answer them in 1 minute.
question from a brother, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is the ruling on letting a brother who shaves his beard be an imam?
The best is to look for somebody who is more complete to lead the prayer, who follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whether you believe keeping it is wajib or mustahab, the best is to have the most complete person. But the prayer of somebody who shaves is okay, it's fine, there's nothing wrong with the prayer. But prayer is very, very important thing, and the most complete person should be the one who leads the prayer.
Question from Khidr.
Will a child or a baby who died early be asked the questions of the grave as well?
Allahu A'lam. Yeah, Allahu A'lam. But we know that if the parents are Muslims, he will go to Jannah, bi-ithnillah azza wa jal. If his parents are not Muslim, then they will be tested on the Day of Judgment, the kids. If they pass the test, they will be going to Jannah. If they fail, they will be going to hell.
Last question, inshallah, Sheikh.
Question from Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh. In my country, there are cases where poor people who can't afford Hajj for themselves are sent to do Hajj on behalf of the deceased who couldn't perform Hajj. Is this not recommended?
Yes, definitely it's not recommended. The best is to send somebody who did Hajj already for himself to do Hajj. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Shubruma, so that a person saying Labbaika, a person who saying Labbaika Allahumma Hajjan an Shubruma. He says, Ya Allah, I intend to make Hajj on behalf of Shubruma. So he asked him, who is this Shubruma? He says, Ya Rasulullah, it's my brother that died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahajjta an nafsik?" Did you make Hajj for yourself? He said, "No." He said, "Hajj an nafsika thumma hajj an shubruma." He said, "Hajj, your Hajj first, and then go and do it for the shubruma." Yeah, that's why the best opinion is the one that says it is not permissible for somebody who did not make Hajj for himself to make it for another person.
So, Sheikh, will the person performing it for others won't be rewarded?
Many scholars say it will be counted as his. If he takes money for that, then he has to pay them their money. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته اللهم آمين قيوم